This is Audible.
Hi, this is Jerry Hicks, and this is The Science of Deliberate Creation. This is a recording entitled An Introduction to Abraham, and this is the first recording in Abraham's first Special Subjects album. It was originally recorded in San Antonio, Texas in June of 1989. All recorded and printed Abraham Hicks materials are copyrighted by Jerry and Esther Hicks, and any unauthorized duplication of these materials is strictly prohibited. Our primary intent with this work is to connect with those who are attracting this information, and Esther and I are most appreciative of the role of your intentions in this joyous, co-creative experience. For additional tapes, CDs, books, videos, catalogs, or to reserve your space at an Abraham Hicks Art of Allowing workshop, please call 755-2299, area code 830, or write to Abraham Hicks Publications at Post Office Box 690-070, San Antonio, Texas, and the zip code is 78269. Also, for an immediate overview of our works, visit our interactive website at www.abrahamhicks.com. That's www.abraham-hicks.com. This tape is primarily to introduce you to laws and processes that will in turn lead you precisely to living the perfect life that you're wanting. On this tape, you'll meet us, Jerry and Esther, and you'll learn how we've been led by our wanting to these processes and to these experiences. You will meet Abraham, who will explain the reason for this interaction and the value to you of understanding these laws and processes. From the time that I was a small child, I've been looking for answers, looking for what was true. I can't remember a time that I was not wanting to understand more so that I could be of more value. Looking back, I can see how that wanting led me, step by step, through a wide variety of books and life experiences to this present point of clarity that I am enjoying so much. And so now, as I hear the wisdom of Abraham, I can recognize the truth of what they teach, because I have lived those truths again and again through this physical life experience. It excites me to know that you're having the opportunity to listen to this recording, because I know from my personal experience and from what others have told me of their personal experiences, the value of what Abraham speaks, and how dramatically it has benefited all areas of our life experiences. I'm eager for you to hear the simple and practical laws and processes that they offer, so that you may clearly and consciously attract everything that you're wanting into your experience, and release anything that you now have that you're not wanting. In my earlier years, I studied and participated in one philosophy or religion after the other. Each one of them stated that they had found the answers to right and wrong. But then as I moved from one group to another, I became quite disappointed in my search as I heard each one of them tell me that the truths that all of the other groups had believed in and were teaching me were false. It was only after meeting Abraham that I've come to understand and no longer feel negative emotion about those apparent contradictions. About 1959, I found a Ouija board. I was visiting some friends in Spokane, Washington. And although I strongly disbelieved in its viability at first, once I had the opportunity to see for myself that something real was happening with it, I decided to ask some real questions. And so I asked through the board, "How can I become truly good?" And the board spelled read. I said, "Read what?" It said, "Books." I asked, "What books?" It spelled really fast, "Any and All by Albert Schweitzer." And my friends asked me, "Who's Albert Schweitzer?" I said, "I think he's a doctor in Africa." They said, "Has he written any books?" I said, "Not that I know of, but I'll be in Lethbridge tomorrow, Alberta, Canada, and I'll check at the library and see if he has." It's not that I learned anything from reading Schweitzer's books that I could use in my life, except that it was kind of like what the Ouija board was. In other words, the very fact that the board worked made me realize that there were major phenomena regarding non-physical beings that I didn't know anything about. And then meeting Schweitzer through his books opened my mind further to the fact that I didn't know everything in that direction, you know, philosophy and the Bible, either. So I bought a Ouija board, and although it wouldn't work for me, I tried it on hundreds of people, you know, in my travels as an entertainer. And I found about three people that it really did work for. One of those was a fellow entertainer in Portland, Oregon. we talked with non-physical beings that told us that in physical form they had been pirates and priests, there were politicians and rabbis. It was just the kind of conversations you might have at parties, and it was a very different attitude from the one on the Ouija board that suggested that I read Schweitzer. There was nothing of value that I could use in my life or that I could learn to teach to anybody else that they could use. So I just, one day I just threw it off into the bushes. That was the end of that stage of my conscious non-physical interest or activity. The next major thrust forward occurred in 1965. While doing concerts in a series of colleges and universities, I found Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. And just as I'd had no interest or belief in the Ouija board before I personally experienced it, I had no conscious interest or belief in thinking and growing rich until I started reading that book. Yet for some reason I picked it up, and about 12 pages in, my hair was just standing up all over my body. You know, thrill bumps everywhere. I decided to do exactly as it suggested, and it worked so well for me that in a very brief time, I was able to build a multinational business, touching meaningfully the lives of many thousands. I even began teaching the principles that I was learning from the book. And then after Esther and I were married, that was in 1980, I told her about some of my Ouija board experiences. She finally said, Jerry, and we really get along. She said, I really don't want to hear about the Ouija board. I can't even stay in the room when you talk about it. So you see, she had been taught to have tremendous fear of it. So since I didn't want to disturb her, that was the end of me even talking about the Ouija board. By 1983, I'd kind of come as far as I wanted to with teaching Think and Grow Rich. I'd seen a few people become millionaires, a very few. I saw lots of people expand, but I also saw a number of people whose lives didn't seem to get much better no matter how many courses they took. And so I felt there has to be another level of knowing that I can find. So my search just continued. It was about that time, we were in a library in Phoenix, and I spotted a book on a shelf entitled Seth Speaks, S-E-T-H. And I thought, I wonder what that is. I took the book down, and as I started reading it, my hairs were standing on end again. Those massive thrill bumps were there again, and I thought, here we go again. Now, Esther didn't want to hear about that either. She said that she sensed that it was some sort of weird book. You see, Jane Roberts, the author, she and her husband, Robert Butts, she would go into a sort of a trance and allow Seth, a non-physical personality, to speak through her, and they wrote these Seth books. So rather than disturb Esther, I'd get up in the mornings while she was still asleep, and I would read. But then now I started telling Esther about the principles I was learning from the book, and she'd say, well, that's really good. You see, it was the process of a physical being in contact with non-physical beings that was frightening her. So I started using what I was learning in my life, and Esther started getting more excited and more interested. You see, her change in attitude came about as she became aware that through her personal experience, it all felt good. Whereas her fears before were not from her personal experience, but they were from what she had been led to believe by what others believed, from what they had been in turn led to believe, and so on. I've always believed in judging the tree by the fruits of it. And so everything that I look at how do I feel about it? And there was so much of it that just felt right for me. So it didn't make any difference where it came from or how it was presented. The fact that it was something that I found of value that I could use and that I could pass on to other people that I believed that they could use, I was excited. Esther had once asked me what I'd learned from those experiences with the Ouija board. And I told her I learned that there was an intelligence out there that was wanting and willing to communicate with us. And that some appeared to be as dumb as the dumbest of us, and some as bright or brighter than the brightest of us, and that although I didn't really understand it, I did accept the experience as valid because it had happened to me.
I really appreciate the time that we had reading those Seth books, because if it had not been for those books, I don't think that I would have had the transition that I did of being so afraid of this process to being so involved and so happily involved in it. In fact, as Jerry said, I was so excited after reading the books. I really wanted to go meet Seth. I wanted to meet this non-physical being that had all this wisdom. And I wanted to meet Jane and Rob, too. But when we called information, their number was non-published. And so we were trying to figure out what to do next. And we were having lunch in a restaurant in Scottsdale, Arizona. And a total stranger sitting behind us, who we were not conversing with, turned to us and said, "Have you read any of the Seth books?" Well, we couldn't believe it, because we hadn't told a single person that we were reading those books. And he said, "Did you know that Jane Roberts is dead?" Well, we didn't know that, and it upset me so much, because I felt like somebody had told me my sister was dead and I hadn't heard about it. It was shocking, and I was so disappointed, because I was so excited about meeting Seth and about meeting them, and now I knew I couldn't. Within 1 or 2 days, our best friends and business associates there in Phoenix came to us, and they said, "We have a tape we want you to hear." And they were acting weird, just like Jerry was acting over that book. And I said, "Well, what is it?" And they said, "Well, it's channeled." Well, I didn't know what channeled meant, because in the Seth books, that word was never used. And so I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And so as they began to explain a little bit, then I realized that it was the very process that we'd been experiencing through these Seth books. And they said, "There's a woman who is coming through Phoenix, and you can make an appointment." I think it was $100 for a half an hour.
Could ask any questions we wanted.
And so we made an appointment to sit and see this woman and meet her non-physical entity. And I can remember going over there, how excited we were. And we met in a beautiful home in Phoenix. And it was in the middle of the day. It was broad daylight. There was no spooky stuff or anything. All comfortable, all pleasant. And as we sat and visited with these non-physical beings, well, actually, I should say, as Jerry sat and visited with these non-physical beings, I don't think I said a word on the first meeting. I was absolutely amazed. Jerry had a notebook full of questions. He had questions he said he'd saved up since he was 6 years old. He just fired those questions in, and then our time was up. The half hour passed so quickly. We felt so wonderful, and I said, "Can we go back tomorrow?" Because now I had some questions, and I wanted to talk to these entities, and their name was Theo. And so when we went back the next day, I asked what we could do to move faster in our goals, and they said affirmations, and gave us a wonderful one. And we knew about affirmations. We were already using them. And then I said, "What else?" And they said, "Meditate." Well, when they said meditate, both of us kind of were taken back by it. I didn't know anybody personally who was meditating, but I thought of strangeness. It didn't seem like something that I could see myself doing.
I associated with people seeing how bad they could get their life, how much pain or how much poverty and still exist.
Like,
it was like a challenge.
Walking on hot coals or laying on beds of nails or something that was weird like that. But then I said, "Well, what do you mean by meditate?" And this entity said, "Well, sit in a quiet room and wear comfortable clothing and focus on your breathing. And as your mind wanders, and it will, just release the thought and focus back on your breathing." And I thought, well, that doesn't sound so difficult.
You had asked also if we could bring our daughter.
Oh, that's right. I asked if I should bring Tracy. She was 14 at the time. And they said, "If it is the asking, but it is not necessary, for you too are channels." And I thought, how can we be something this strange or this important? I wasn't sure how I felt about it at that time, and not know it. So anyway, the tape recorder clicked off, and now I'm frustrated, because I still had more questions and our time was up. And the lady who was operating the tape recorder, I think she sensed my frustration, and she said, "Well, do you have one last question? Like, do you want to know who your spiritual guide is or anything like that?" Well, I would have never asked that question, because I'd never heard of such a thing. I'd heard of guardian angel, but I hadn't heard of spiritual guide. But I said, "Yes, who is my spiritual guide?" And then they said, "We are told it will be given to you directly. You'll have a clairvoyant experience, and you will know." And so our time was up, and we felt so good, and we went right home, and we put on our bathrobes, and we pulled the drapes in the living room, and we sat, and I had two intentions. I was going to meditate every day for 15 minutes, whatever that meant, and I was going to find out who my spiritual guide was. And they'd encouraged us to meditate together. They said it would be more powerful in our case, because we were already compatible and in harmony. But we were embarrassed to do it together, and so we sat in these wing-back chairs with an etagere between us so we couldn't see each other. In order to not think of anything, which was what they'd encouraged us to do, or just to focus on our breathing, I began counting my breaths as the breaths went out and came in. And we had set a timer for 15 minutes. And within, oh, I would say 3 or 4 minutes of this focusing on my breathing, I felt very numb. It was a wonderful sensation. tingly and numb. And the timer went off, and it really startled both of us. And I said, let's do it again. So we set the timer for 15 more minutes. And again, I felt that numbness. This time I couldn't feel the chair beneath me. It was as if I was suspended there in the room and nothing else was there. I was not even aware of Jerry. And the timer went off again, and again it startled us, and I said, let's do it again. And Jerry, I think he's thinking, oh brother, because I tend to be that way. I'm kind of all or nothing. And so we set the timer for 15 minutes again. And toward the end of that 15 minutes, again I was numb, but something breathed me. That was the way I would have described it right after it happened. It was as if something greater than me was breathing me, forcing the air in and out of my lungs. It was a wonderful, loving sensation.
It's like you were in a state of ecstasy.
It was really exciting and really wonderful and yet frightening because we didn't know really what had happened. My teeth buzzed. They didn't chatter, they buzzed. I know now that that was my first contact with Abraham, but we didn't know that. We meditated every day for about 9 months. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we missed a day. I think we meditated every day for 15 or 20 minutes. And right before Thanksgiving of 1985, while we were meditating, my head began to move around very gently. It was a nice sensation because I was already in that sort of state of numbness. And so the movement enhanced that. It was almost a feeling of flying. And I didn't think anything of it except I knew I wasn't doing it. But it was so pleasant, I don't think I gave it much thought. And so my head moved like that for 2 or 3 days while we meditated. And on about the third day or the fourth day, I realized my head wasn't just moving around. I was spelling letters with my nose, like my nose was writing on a chalkboard. And I said, Jerry, I'm spelling the alphabet with my nose. And when I said this, this wonderful and intense waves of goosebumps and thrill bumps just moved all through my body. I have not experienced anything since, and certainly nothing like that before. It was wonderful. And then they spelled, I am Abraham. I am your spiritual guide. I love you. I am here to work with you. And so Jerry got his notebook, and we communicated like that for many hours every day. We were so excited that we had made contact with...
We had about 2 months of that, didn't we?
It's hard for me to remember exactly, but it seems like it was about 2 months. And then one night we were laying in bed, and I had my arm laying across on Jerry's chest, and my hand began to thump on his chest, and I said, that's not me. It must be them. And I just had this really strong sensation that they wanted me to go to the typewriter, and so I went to the typewriter and I held my hands out over the keyboard, and they moved my hands with such power. Jerry was standing there ready to grab my hands because
we didn't really understand what this was,
and we weren't sure how precise they were. He didn't want them to hurt my hands because there was so much power behind it, but they were very careful. They touched every key many, many times, and then they spelled the alphabet, and then they wrote, I want to type, I want to type, I want to type, with no capitalization and no spaces between the words, about a page of that. And then they began typing a message, and they asked that I go to the typewriter every day for a few minutes, 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so that's the way we communicated for the next 2 months. And then one day we were rounding a corner on the freeway, and it is not banked very well. And we were in our little Cadillac Seville, and there were two 18-wheelers with trailers, one on either side of us. And both of them were crossing the line coming into our lane, and I had this powerful sensation that we were about to be squished, and with that intensity of that emotion, they began to speak. It was not so different from yawning. You know how you cannot suppress a yawn? It was that sort of sensation of that tugging or power in my jaw. And so as I relaxed to that, then these words came out, and they said, take the next exit. And we did. We sat under that underpass and talked for many hours that day.
It was exciting.
So from that moment, that first speaking led to the books that they've written since and the many wonderful tapes and the workshops. In the beginning, we weren't going to tell anyone about it. It was just going to be for us. We had just a handful of close friends that we let come and hear Abraham. And it was about a year before we opened up to the public, as we're doing now. It's been a wonderful experience. I'm never able to find the words to express the exhilaration that I feel for this work with Abraham. I seem to have always known what I most want, and much of it I've already found the ways to achieve before meeting Abraham. But what Abraham has brought to my understanding has been an absolute clarity of how I'm getting or not getting, and with that knowledge, we have complete control. There are no bad breaks, no unlucky days, and no moving with the tides that have been moved by someone else. We're free. We're the absolute creators of our experience, and we're loving it. And now, Esther's going to take a moment to quiet her conscious thinking mind, and she'll bring Abraham in, and Abraham will give the rest of the material to you.
Before I do that, I just wanted to say that I think Jerry and I have been a very good combination for bringing this process into our experience. In other words, I know that the reason that Abraham is speaking through me is because I'm married to the question asker of the world. I know that it is out of Jerry's powerful wanting to evolve and to grow and to teach and to know more than he knows now. It's through his wanting, I believe, that Abraham came to us. And somehow through my allowing, I don't think that Jerry would have allowed himself to receive just out of the blue in the way that I did. And I've never wanted to know like Jerry wants to know. So I think the combination of his wanting and my allowing is what has made all of this possible.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just take a minute and I'll go get Abraham. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is nice to have an opportunity to visit. We have been considering the immense value of this recording, for we are understanding that it is an introduction one to another, really an introduction of non-physical to physical. And we are exuberant as we are beginning this introduction of ourself to your physical plane, for we are now completing an intention that has been set forth long before most of you who are now physical were in these physical bodies. An agreement whereby we said we will remain here focused through our broader, more powerful non-physical perspective while you will go forth into these magnificent physical bodies and together through communication we will co-create. There is so much that we are wanting to convey, for we are wanting most of all for those of you who are physical beings to understand the magnificence of your being. We are wanting you to understand who you are and why you have come forth into this physical dimension. We will begin by expressing who we are, for it is our knowing that as you are coming to understand who we are, that you will in like manner come to understand more clearly who you are. There are many of us here in the non-physical dimension. And in this place where we are, it is not really a place. But gathered around us are many, currently, of identical intent or wanting. And we are offering ourselves with the name of Abraham because we are wanting you to think of us as teachers. Teacher meaning one who is currently broader in understanding, who may offer words or stimulation of thought that through the natural processes or laws of the universe, you may attract unto you knowledge. We cannot do it for you. And we have learned a long time ago that words do not teach. But words do stimulate thought, and thought is attractive. All thoughts are powerful magnets, attracting more of same unto them. And so it is our knowing that as we through our words stimulate your thought or your awareness or your wanting, that we may lead you or guide you to expanded knowingness. And that is the point of all of this. We have together, with the assistance of these wondrous physical beings known as Jerry and Esther, prepared for you a series of recordings. A series that is only begun, for there is much more that we are wanting to say to you. But a series that is, by our estimation, the most important primary information for you to receive. For if you are able to grasp a few simple laws, and we call them laws because they are absolute, they are eternal, meaning they are forever. They are everywhere. As you are able to accept, acknowledge, and utilize these laws, then and only then will you be the deliberate creator of this wondrous physical experience. You are much more than you see in these physical bodies. And we know that is not always easy for you to see, as you are using only your physical senses to make the evaluation. But there is another part of you, greater and broader and older, that exists right now in the non-physical dimension. Now that is a surprise to most of you. For while many of you accept that you have lived before this, that there was something before this physical experience, and while many of you want to believe, you are hoping that there is something beyond this physical experience, very few acknowledge that right now, while you are physical, that there is a part of you, a greater part of you, that remains in non-physical dimension. We call it your inner being. Some of you call it your higher self or your soul. It matters not what you call it, but it is of great value for you to acknowledge that it exists. For there is wondrous guidance that is available to you through this inner you. As you are listening, you will become acquainted with these simple laws, and we will express to you also the process for opening a sort of passageway between the physical you and the inner you, that you may have the advantage of this great and glorious guidance. We come forth not to alter your beliefs, but to reacquaint you with the eternal laws of the universe, that you may intentionally be the creator that you have come forth to be. For there is not another who attracts into your experience that which you are getting. You are doing it all. You will hear in simple format these laws. And you will also hear processes whereby you may access the law for the accomplishment or the creation of whatever is important to you. Also, you will hear from our perspective the great value in understanding these laws, for it will lead you to the greatest exaltation that you will ever experience, and that is the glory of becoming an allower, not a tolerator, one who is truly in harmony with this world in which you are living, receiving joy from all of your exposure to what you are attracting to yourself. And in that, an adding unto that which you are from inner perspective. While we understand it is not easy for you to see beyond your physical perspective, it is our knowing that as you are hearing the words upon this recording, if you are wanting it, you will be guided step by step to what we are calling an awakening, a recognizing of the total you. We are wanting you to understand your value to all that is. For you are adding unto with everything that you do, with every word that you speak, with every thought that you think. We are wanting you to sense your value. For as we are interacting in this physical place, it is our acknowledgement that so many of you are not appreciating yourselves very much. Primarily, it is because you're not understanding the rules of this game. And so you're not understanding clearly how you are getting what you're getting. And so, for most of you, there are those things that you are wanting to get that you are not getting. And there are those things that you do not want to get that you are getting. And because you do not understand how it is coming, there is the tendency to blame others or to strike comparison. And in all of that process, you are not feeling very good about you. It is our absolute knowing that here you will hear the key or keys that will lead you to the life experience that you've intended even before you emerged into this body. We will assist you in fulfilling your life's purpose. And we know that is important to you, for as we are visiting with so many of you, it is a predominant question. Why am I here? And what can I do to make it better? How can I do what is right? And we are here to express all of that to you in detail. And now let us continue with the purpose of this recording.
Good. What I had in mind in asking you to do this was an introductory tape that would have real value, so that each subject that you covered, there would be enough that a person could actually begin using these ideas. But on the other hand, I do want it to lead a person into, in the areas that they're most interested in, into that particular tape where they could get the fuller version of it.
As we are moving forward here together, we will talk about these recordings in the order that we are encouraging that they be listened to.
Great.
Also, we are wanting to point out that we cannot, any of us, offer everything that we are knowing or wanting to convey at any point in time.
Right.
And so we will offer as much as we are able here, understanding that some will be interested in going beyond and some will not.
Right.
And even as the recordings are ordered and listened to, there will be some that will have heard enough and some that will want to go beyond that and so on. Our work is evolving through the questions that are asked from the stimulation of those who are hearing what has been said before. And so, let us begin.
Good. Well, Abraham, I'll assume that the first tape that you would recommend would be the Law of Attraction. I know you've talked about that being the most powerful.
That is correct. It is the most powerful law in the universe, and an understanding of that is essential before an understanding of anything else that we are offering will be of value. Law of Attraction is the most powerful law in the universe, and what it says is that which is likened to itself is drawn. You see it evidenced here in your society when you say birds of a feather flock together. You see it evidenced when you wake up in the morning and you have a very bad day, and all through the day things get worse and worse, and at the end of the day you say, I should not have gotten out of bed. You see Law of Attraction evidenced in your society when you see that the one who speaks most of illness has it, when you see that the one who speaks most of prosperity has it. Law of Attraction is evident everywhere around you if you are understanding what it is. You are a magnet attracting unto you that which you are thinking and feeling. And so if you are feeling fat, you cannot attract thin. If you feel poor, you cannot attract prosperity. And so on. It defies law. When you come to understand that you are a magnet attracting unto you, then and only then will it make sense to you to pay attention to what you are thinking, you see. When we say to you that you are the creator of your experience and that you attract unto you through your thought and through your word, which is an extension of your thought, and through your action, which is also an extension of your thought, what we are saying is, literally, you are creating your experience. The greatest resistance that we receive about that is that there are so many who have those things in their experience that they don't want, and so they cannot believe that they would have created it. They say, Abraham, I would not have done this unto me. And we say, we know you would not have done it on purpose, but there is creation by default, which is putting Law of Attraction to work by summoning or soliciting or inviting into your experience that which you do not want, by thought, not understanding the rules of the game, so to speak. Without exception, that which you give thought to is that which you begin to invite into your experience. When you think a little thought of something that you are wanting, by law of attraction, that thought grows larger and larger and more powerful. When you think a thought of something you are not wanting, that law of attraction adds unto it, and it grows larger and larger also. And so the larger it grows, the more power it draws unto it, then the more certain you are to receive the experience, you see. And so we are not saying that every subtle little thought will manifest instantly in your experience, but that is because of the buffer of time. But it does mean that it is setting forth the probability. And if you stay focused upon it long enough, it absolutely, under all conditions, will be yours, you see. The interesting thing about these laws that we are offering here is that they are, even if you do not understand that they are. And they affect your experience, even in your ignorance of them. And so as you are hearing this recording, it is our wanting that you will not resist the words because they are strange, but that you will ponder them and then look into your own experience that you may see the correlation between what you are thinking and speaking and what you are getting, so that you will accept the law of attraction as absolute, thereby beginning to use it to your benefit rather than to your detriment.
The next major law that you cover is the law of, as you call it, deliberate creation. Would you cover the value of that to us and what you mean by that?
We will. We've called this the law of deliberate creation because we are assuming you are wanting to create on purpose. But actually, it is more aptly called the law of creation, for it works whether you are thinking of what you are wanting or thinking of what you are not wanting, whether you are thinking of what you are wanting or whether you are thinking of the lack of what you are wanting. The direction of your thought is your choice, and the law of creation goes to work upon whatever it is you are thinking about. And so as we are speaking of this, we are wanting you to understand that there are two parts of it, since you are here in this physical existence. If you were here in the non-physical, focused as we are, you would notice only half of the equation applying, for there is only the giving thought and receiving simultaneously. But here in this dimension with the buffer of time, there are two parts of the equation. On the one hand, the launching of the creation with emotion, and then on the other hand, the expecting or the allowing or the receiving of that which has been launched in the first place. It is not easy for most of you to hear these words regarding creating through thought and to accept them wholly in the beginning, for you live in a physical world and you have seen so many taking action to make everything happen. And certainly we do not deny that action is an integral part of the physical world in which you live. But we do say that if you are utilizing the power of your thought to prepave or to set forth thought in advance of that which you are wanting to receive, that as you are walking through space and time into your now, that you will not have so much action to take to get things the way you are wanting them to be. We have noted that your hospitals are filled to the brim with those who are taking action to compensate for inappropriate thought. They did not create the illness on purpose, but they did create it through thought and through expectation. And then they go to the hospital to take physical action to compensate. We see many spending their day exchanging their action for dollars, because the dollars are essential to the freedom of life in this society. And yet in most cases the action is not action in joy. It is a compensating action in the now. You have intended action. That is part of the deliciousness of this physical world in which you live. But you did not intend to do your creating through action. You intended to do your creating through thought and to enjoy that which you have created with your body. If you understand that as you set forth thought in advance, with emotion, that you have launched your creation, and then you walk through space and time toward that time in the future expecting that it will be there, then we say to you, from that joyful creation that you have launched into the future, you will be inspired to the action that is action in joy. Mm-hmm. And that is our point. When you are taking action in your now and it is not action in joy, it is our absolute promise to you that it will not lead to a happy ending. It cannot. It defies law. Rather than being so ready to jump into action, to do, to go and get the things that you are wanting, we say think them into being, see them, visualize them, and expect them, and they will be. And you will be guided or inspired or led to the perfect action that will bring about the process that will lead you to that which you seek. And there is a great difference between that which we have spoken and the way most of the world is going about it.
Thank you. That was very, very clear. The next subject, I would say, has had the most impact on new understanding for me. because I never thought of it, anything from that perspective with the clarity that you have, and that's the law of allowing. Would you cover that for us?
We will indeed. We have put the law of allowing in this order, following the law of attraction first and the law of deliberate creating second, because law of allowing cannot begin to be understood until the first two are understood. What we are meaning by law of allowing is, I am that which I am, and I am pleased with it, joyful in it. And you are that which you are, and while it is different, perhaps, than that which I am, it is also good. And because I am able to focus upon that which I want, even if there are those differences between us that are dramatic, I do not suffer the negative emotion because I am wise enough not to focus upon that which brings me discomfort. I have come to understand, as I am one who is applying the law of allowing, that I have not come forth into this physical world to get everyone to follow the truth that I think is the truth. I have not come forth to encourage the world into a world of conformity or sameness. For I am wise enough to understand that in sameness, in conformity, there is not the diversity that stimulates creativity. And that in focusing upon bringing about conformity, I am pointed toward an ending rather than to a continuing of creation. And so law of allowing is absolutely essential to the continuation or the survival of this species, of this planet, of this universe. Not only that, when I do not allow myself, I feel rotten. And when I do not allow another, I feel rotten. And so that is the basis behind law of allowing. Allowing not in tolerant sense, for when you are tolerating another, you are letting them be, you are letting them go ahead and do what they do, but you're not liking it. You are still binding yourself with the negativity, you see.
Mm-hmm. A thing that was tough for me in the beginning of this is, how do we protect ourselves, though, from others who are thinking differently than us, and differently enough that they might invade our space, so to speak, in some way?
Good. That is why we said before you can understand and accept law of allowing, you must first understand law of attraction and law of deliberate creating. For certainly, if you do not understand how something is coming unto you, then you are fearful of it. If you do not understand that another cannot come into your experience unless you invite them through thought, then of course you would worry about what the others are doing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you understand that nothing will come into your experience unless you invite it through thought, unless you invite it through emotional thought and great expectation, unless you actually accomplish this delicate creative balance, you will not receive it, you see. When the law of allowing is understood, when the law of deliberate creation is understood, when the law of attraction is understood, then there is no longer a need for walls or barricades or armies or wars or jails. For then you understand that you are absolutely free to create around you the world that you are wanting. And you are not feeling such a responsibility or such an urging to contain or control the others. For you understand they are in the process of creating their world around them. You see, in this physical world in which you are focused, even in this universe of which this physical world is a part, there are those things that you are in absolute harmony with, and there are those things that you are in absolute disharmony with, and there is some of everything in between. But you have not come forth to destroy or to contain that which you do not agree with, for that is a changing thing. Instead, you have come forth to identify moment by moment, segment by segment, day by day, year by year, what it is you are wanting, to use the power of your thought to focus upon it, to utilize the power of law of attraction to draw it unto you.
Mm-hmm.
The other doesn't work. Have you noticed?
Right.
For they cannot find a way of containing.
I know.
And who gets to choose who is right anyway?
As I look at these, my feeling is that the combination of the tape on the law of attraction and the one on the law of deliberate creation and then the one on the law of allowing Then added to that, this next one, the segment intending, seems to make up the total recipe for making things happen in general. Would you cover how you see the segment intending, what you mean by that?
As you are understanding that you are the creator of your experience, then you are wanting more and more to identify what it is you are wanting so that you may allow it into your experience. Until you have stopped to identify what you are wanting, there is not a possibility of deliberate creation. You are not wanting the same thing in all segments of your life experience. In fact, in every day, there are many segments that carry many different intentions. And so the point of the segment intending recording is to help you to understand the value of stopping many times during your day to identify what it is you are most wanting that you may add emphasis and therefore power unto that. There is very little that you are actually living in this day that is only as a result of that which you are thinking in this day. But as you are stopping segment by segment and identifying what it is you are wanting in this segment, you set forth thoughts that begin to pre-pave your future where you are entering segments that are similar. In other words, let us say you are getting into your automobile and you are alone. And so intending communication or clarity of hearing what another is saying is not a very important intention, for there is not another to communicate with. But intending safety and smooth flowing through traffic and arriving refreshed and on time, those are intentions that are very well placed in this segment as you are traversing from one place to another. And so the identification of your intention as you are entering this segment of driving not only affects this segment, but it sets forth a pre-paving into your future so that other times when you are getting into your automobile, you are intending and have in fact pre-paved or created the circumstances and events that will bring about safety. It is possible that in the beginning, even though you are identifying segment by segment what you are wanting, that there still will be some backlash or momentum from past thoughts that you have set forth. But in time, as you are setting forth segment by segment what you are wanting, you will have pre-paved a path before you that is very much to your liking. And then you will not have to take so much action in the moment to get things the way you want them. Technically, all of your creative power is in this moment. But you are projecting it not only into this moment, but also into all future that exists for you. And so the more you are willing to stop and identify what you are wanting in this segment, then the greater and clearer and more magnificent your future path will be. And your moment will be better and better and better and better also.
Mm-hmm. The next subject had an impact on our lives, a powerful one, and that's the subject that you've entitled Great Awakening and Blending. Could you speak on that?
We are happy to speak about this, for it is the reason that all of you who are in physical form at this time have chosen this time. For you knew even before your emergence into this physical body that this time upon the planet would be the time when more than ever before, would, if they are wanting it, achieve a blending of the physical being and the non-physical counterpart. You are more than you see here in this physical body. And most physical beings do not understand that. While they can accept that there was something before this life experience, and many of them are believing or hoping in more cases that there will be something beyond, there are very few who understand that right now, while you are in this physical body, that there is another part of you, a non-physical part of you, a non-physical counterpart, a non-physical inner you that exists. And that inner you is communicating with you from its non-physical focus. A part of you that has the benefit of all that you have lived through all of your physical and non-physical lifetimes. A part of you that is aware of you. It is that you that extends the energy into you that keeps you going here in this physical place. And so actually recognizing that this inner part of you exists is also essential to your understanding of the great creative process. For without the understanding of where the emotion that you feel is coming from, you do not understand or usually acknowledge the reality of your guidance system. When you are setting forth a thought of something that you are wanting and feeling positive emotion, that positive emotion is communication that is projected to you from your inner being. And when you are thinking of something you are not wanting and feeling negative emotion, that negative emotion is communication that is projected to you from your inner being. And so this emotion that you feel is actual guidance or communication that comes forth from the inner part of you. Now, all physical beings that are now upon the earth are receiving, without exception, communication from their inner being in the form of emotion. But that communication can broaden far beyond a feeling of positive or negative emotion, which is essentially guidance of yes or no. It can broaden to clear and full communication regarding any subject that is important to you. You literally have access to infinite intelligence, you see. And so we are exuberant as we participate with physical man in this time of great awakening. For we know that not only will he have the delicious and glorious benefit of being physical in this time, but he will also have the enhancement of the non-physical part. We have not come forth to offer this knowledge that it may distract you from what you are about here in the physical. For what you are about here in this physical is very, very important. If it were not, you would not be here. You have not come forth to climb your way up a ladder of righteousness to greater exaltation. You have come here to create in this physical experience, utilizing the guidance that comes forth from within. And that is what this great awakening and blending is all about. A blended being, from our perspective, is one who is physically focused, yes, and creating through conscious physical thought here. And enjoying all the deliciousness of the physical experience while he is at same time acknowledging the guidance that comes forth from within. Guidance that ranges from communication through emotion all the way to clear and conscious communication. A blended being is that which you are witnessing as you are experiencing Esther as she speaks for Abraham.
Yes.
It is her conscious physical mechanism that is allowing the word, while that which is coming forth from within her is a combination of the knowledge that she has accumulated here in this physical world, as well as that which is being projected now. We are utilizing the vocabulary that she has accumulated, her knowledge of what is around her, while the knowledge of the laws is coming forth from inner, broader, wiser perspective. Not all physical beings who are blended will speak for Abraham or for someone like Abraham. But the example that we are stating is this. You are physical beings focused in a physical world and you have access to much broader knowledge than most of you are allowing.
Thank you. Another subject that I hear many, many questions on, or I've heard it all my life, questions on this subject, and that has to do with relationships and agreements. And your tape on that is just absolutely marvelous. Could you give us some brief ideas from it?
You have come forth primarily to be creator. In other words, to set forth your thought and emotion in order to draw unto you. But as you have noticed, you are here in a dimension, in a time and a place that you are sharing with many other physical beings, and that is because you are wanting also to be co-creator. Now, the thing about most relationships that keeps them from working in magnificent fashion is that you do not understand that you are first and foremost individual creator, and sometimes upon some topics you are co-creator. And so often as you come together in a relationship, you smother the freedom that is essential to your being by expecting the other to now think exactly as you do, want exactly as you do, be exactly as you are upon all subjects. And because you are freedom-seeking being, then you cannot tolerate that sort of suppression of your freedom. Most relationships are better in the beginning than they are later. Because in the beginning, you are focused upon what you are wanting to see. And by law of attraction, you are soliciting more of that from one another. But as time goes by, because most do not understand the power of law of attraction, they begin to look also for things that they do not want. And they begin to solicit more and more and more of those forth. Some relationships have been created out of a wanting for companionship. But the clear intention, or all of the things that are wanted, have not been clearly stated or clearly recognized. Sometimes, until you have become part of a relationship that is not to your liking, you are not really clear about what it is you do like. We say sometimes it is a value to live in a house with not enough closets to identify you are wanting more closets. In this physical world, because so many are not understanding the laws, most do not believe that they can have everything exactly as they are wanting it to be. And so they say, well, I cannot have everything perfectly, so I will put up with this that I don't want. And so they attract relationships that satisfy some of their intentions, but not others. Later, only to discover that those other intentions were very important to them, and the lack of having them satisfied leaves them feeling empty.
I hear a great deal of questions about parent-child relationships, particularly from the parents. Does this all fit in the same with parent-child relationships?
It does. Relationships, whether they are the relationship of parent and child, mates coming together, employee, employer, student, teacher, it matters not. The coming together of two creators or two or more creators is what co-creating is. Mm-hmm. What goes wrong in most cases is this. One begins to think about something. It starts with a little subtle thought. And then by law of attraction, the thought gets larger and larger and larger until there is a sort of emotional release about it. Literally a launching of creation. And so then you go to your partner, whether it is your child or your employee or your mate, and you say, I have a great idea. And you begin to express your idea to the other, and you say, and this is your part. And usually the other is not excited about it in the way that you are, because the other has not been part of the launching of the creation. They came into it later. Unless you have been part of the first part of the creation, the first part of the deliberate creating, which is the launching of thought and having the emotional release, then you will not feel fulfilled or satisfied, and usually not motivated to action to participate within it. And so most parents tell their children what to do and then cannot understand why the child is not always eager to do it. Now, sometimes the desire for harmony or the desire for approval is strong enough that the other one will do whatever the other one wants them to do, even if they have not been part of the inspiring launching of the creation. But we are wanting you to understand that if you would communicate more fully with one another, if you would launch more of your creations together, rather than launching them singularly and then imposing them upon one another, you would have much more success in your relationships. Wanting is the beginning of all deliberate creating. And if the other has not been inspired to want it, they will never participate in joy. And we say they should not. There should never be action that is not in joy. And so you can beat them up. You can set great rules and restrictions. You can offer your disapproval all you want. But you cannot inspire them to joyful action unless you let them be part of the launching of the creation.
Abraham, through my lifetime, I've heard great distress of people because of a lack of material things. I've heard distress from people from a lack of harmonious relationships. But the most severe distress that I hear from people is when it's a lack of bodily conditions that please them. And your tape on bodily conditions, I think, is just absolutely spectacular. Would you kind of do some highlights from that from us?
The reason you hear more about the condition of the body than any other subject is because everyone you know has one. and they are very close to them. In other words, when your toe is throbbing, it has your full attention and it affects every aspect of your life experience. You can sometimes take your focus from another part of your life experience, but it is not easy to take your focus from that which your focus comes through. There is not a physical apparatus, no matter what the state of it, that cannot be altered to the state that is preferred. In other words, no matter how sick